Your Excellency, as we celebrate with great faith the solemnity of Pentecost here in the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, the Mother Church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, I express the joy of all of us gathered today to be with you, our Archbishop. We rejoice in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will come to us through successors of the apostles. It is my privilege to present these candidates for the Sacrament of Confirmation, who come from parishes all throughout the Archdiocese. Under the guidance of their parish priests, catechists, and sponsors, they have prepared to deepen their baptism and to strengthen their communion with all in the Church, with the confirming grace of the Holy Spirit. May they be ready for the imposition of hands upon them and the anointing with sacred chrism, sealing them with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Candidates, please be seated.
Thank you, Monsignor Rogers, Bishop McIntyre, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ. Happy Feast of Pentecost. Before I begin to reflect on today's scripture readings, I would like to talk a little bit about our relationship with one another as we celebrate the Sacrament of Confirmation. How many of you have been to the cathedral before, those of being confirmed, just the ones being confirmed? So most of you haven't been here before. This is the Mother Church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and it's the home of the whole church, so we're very, very happy to have you here. It's the tradition in the Catholic Church from the earliest days for the bishop of the church to baptize, give Holy Communion, and confirm all those who were joining the church. Now, in the earliest days of the church, like the passage from the Acts of the Apostles today, it was a very small community, so it was very easy for the bishop to do that. He baptized and confirmed and gave First Holy Communion to everyone. But as the church began to grow, and there probably were 200 or 300 Christians in the earliest days, and there's more than 1.2 billion Catholics today, as the church began to grow, the bishop couldn't do it all the time, so he gave responsibility for baptism to the priests of the church. And so most of you were baptized by priests or deacons. But still in our church, we have the tradition that the bishop is the one who does the completion of baptism through the Sacrament of Confirmation. And that's why you're here today. I'm your pastor. The bishop is the pastor of the Church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I'm completing the celebration of your sacraments of initiation with the Sacrament of Confirmation. So that's why you're here today. And I'm very, very happy to see you, because our diocese, our church is so large that if it weren't for occasions like this, I wouldn't have the chance to meet most of you at all. So I'm very, very happy to be here with you for your confirmation. Confirmation takes place today on the Feast of Pentecost, which is that occasion in the earliest days of the church where the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon the members of the church community. And so I'd like to reflect a little bit on the Holy Spirit and then on the Feast of Pentecost, and then talk more specifically about your confirmation and its meaning. First of all, a few words about the Holy Spirit. Christians believe that God is one. We believe there's one God, the creator of all, the creator of the universe. But at the same time that God is one, God is also three, because the one God is also Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Son, and the Son's not the Father, and the Holy Spirit's not the Father or the Son. So there's one God, but three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that's a mystery. It's very difficult for us to understand. How can God be at the same time 1 and 3. We would never guess that to be the case. But God told us that about himself. And why did God tell that about himself? Because he loves us. And we always tell the people we love something about ourselves. The people we love the most are the people we tell the most about ourselves to. Isn't that the way it is with you? As you're preparing for marriage, you can't wait to tell the person you're going to marry what you're really like inside. And God loves you, and God loves me more than you'll ever love your husband or your wife or anyone else. And because of that, God wants us to know something about himself. And that's that mystery of the Holy Trinity. Just as your girlfriend is a mystery to you, or your boyfriend's a mystery to you, God is a mystery to us. One God, but three persons. And one of those persons of the Blessed Trinity is the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is celebrated perhaps more than anything else as the feast of the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday when we go to Mass, we profess our faith through the Creed, and we say things about the Holy Spirit that we believe. I'm going to read those to you again today and ask you to look at your heart and into your mind and ask yourself, do I really believe this? Because this is what the Christian community believes about God, the Holy Spirit. This is what we say every Sunday. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We don't say, I believe something about the Holy Spirit. We say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. It means we believe him as well as believe things about him. Okay? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. We believe that the Holy Spirit is God. That's the word that's used in the Old Testament for God is Lord. So we believe the Holy Spirit is God. And also the giver of life, you know, spiritual life, the things that drive us spiritually, is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit, who wants to give you and me new life every time we encounter the Holy Spirit. So I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now that's a hard thing to understand. What the church understands by this is that the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father so much that the Holy Spirit comes out of that love in some way. But from the beginning of all time, before history began, God from all eternity was Father, Son, loving each other, and that love of the Father and the Son is the person we call the Holy Spirit, who with the Father and the Son is adored. Who do we adore? Sometimes we say to our girlfriend, I adore you, but we should never say that because adoration belongs only to God, right? So when we say we adore the Holy Spirit, we're making an act of faith that the Holy Spirit is God, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, and who has spoken through the prophets. In the history of God's salvation for us people, we believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us through the words of Scripture, through the prophets, through the Bible, not only in the past, but even in our world today. The Holy Spirit continues to speak to us in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. So that's what we say in our creed about the Holy Spirit. So on this Feast of Pentecost, we need once again as individuals and as a community to recommit ourselves to the faith of the church. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask you that before you're confirmed today, and you're going to say, I do, or see, because you're making an act of faith in the faith of the church. Okay? Okay, that's what the creed says about the Holy Spirit. Now, I would like also to look at our first reading. I'm not going to look at each one of the readings because we have a very long service tonight with all the confirmations, but I'd like to look at this passage from the Acts of the Apostles that described the Feast of Pentecost, the first Feast of Pentecost, in order to understand what it means for us today. This is how it began. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. The word Pentecost means 50. And this feast was one of the three major feasts of the Jews. Feast of Passover was followed by the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost took place 50 days after the Feast of Passover. That's why it was called Pentecost, which means 50. And on this feast, the Jewish people celebrated the fact that in their history, God had revealed himself to them and gave them the Ten Commandments. Have any of you seen the movie, The Ten Commandments? Some of us, it's a very old movie, so maybe the young people haven't seen it. But remember when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, there was thunder and lightning and wind, and God spoke to his people through that experience. Well, it was that day that the Jewish people were remembering when they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. So the Jewish people came to Jerusalem for this celebration. And on that same day, the early Christian community, there were only about 120 of them, according to the scriptures, were in the upper room where Jesus had offered himself to them in the Last Supper. And they were praying because Jesus, who had ascended to the Father, told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. So these 120 people, very nervous and very much afraid because Jesus had been crucified and they were afraid for themselves, were gathered together in prayer. And while they were praying, something wonderful happened. And that's what this reading goes on to describe. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. And it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now, we have to remember they were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, when God revealed himself to the Jewish people with thunder and lightning and wind and fire. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit came upon the early church. A wind, something they couldn't see, but they knew it was happening. And fire, which is a symbol of the burning presence of God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They went out and they began to preach. Because whenever the Holy Spirit is given to the church, we're told this in the second reading today, it's given to individuals like you and me, but it's given for some common good. We receive the Holy Spirit ourselves, but it's given to us in order that we might share the gift of God's love with other people. You know, being a Christian is a very personal thing, but it's never a private thing. We're personally transformed. We're enabled to call Jesus Lord, as St. Paul says in that second reading. But then the gifts of the Spirit are to drive us into bringing the word of Jesus Christ to others. Now, I'm going to walk over here for a minute to this candle. In all of our churches on the Easter Vigil, a candle like this was lit and blessed. And this candle symbolizes Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, who brings light into the dark world. And for the last 50 days, this candle has been lit and burnt in our churches as we celebrate the liturgy during the Easter season. But at the end of Mass today, something's going to happen. I think one of our deacons is going to come and take this candle, and the candle will lead the priests and servers, the deacons, and all of us eventually out of this church into the world. Because the Holy Spirit isn't satisfied with us being in church, although the Holy Spirit wants us to do that. The Holy Spirit today, as in the past, drives us out into the world in order to make the world a better place and in order for us to preach the good news of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. So this is a wonderful feast. It symbolizes the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, which leads us all to be missionaries. Now, I'm going to talk about your confirmation. As Father Gill and Sister announced to you at the beginning of before Mass began, Our celebration of confirmation takes place following my preaching. I will ask all of you who are going to be confirmed 5 questions. And these are the same exact questions that the priest or deacon asked you or your parents when you were baptized. Now, most of us were very small, and we couldn't speak for ourselves, but here we are some 20, 30, 40, maybe longer years later, completing the commitment of our baptism. And now the bishop asks you, who can speak for yourself, these same questions. The first question is, do you reject Satan? You want the devil in your life or not? None of us want the devil in our life. So we say, I do. You know, I do renounce him. And then there's 4 questions about what you believe. It's so important, my dear brothers and sisters, that when we celebrate the sacraments of the church, we mean what we say. That we don't just say formulas, you know, don't just say words, but truly commit from our hearts to the things we say we believe. So when you hear me ask you those questions, don't say I do, don't say see, unless you really mean it. And if you do mean it, you are claiming Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you're also committing yourself to be his missionaries in the lives of others. After those questions, Bishop McIntyre, who will join me, and I will stretch our hands over you, which is an ancient symbol from the early church, of passing on to you a gift that the church has received. And on that first Pentecost Sunday, the church received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in the Acts of the Apostles, in the chapters that follow, we see those apostles going out into the church and giving the Holy Spirit that they had received to the rest of the church. That happened the first time 2,000 and some years ago, right? But it's happening again tonight in this church. The Holy Spirit that came upon the church in the Acts of the Apostles will come upon you today. So we pray with our extended hands, asking that you receive the Holy Spirit and the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful gifts, the gift of wisdom, which means you think like God and not like ordinary human beings. The gift of courage, which means you're not a coward, but you're willing to even suffer and sacrifice for your faith. Many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, but I think the gifts of wisdom and courage are very, very specially important gifts in our very confusing world today. So pray that the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. Again, the difference between being smart and being wise is smart people know a lot of things, but wise people think like God thinks. And we all need to do that because God's ways are different than our ways, and God's ways are much better than our ways. And to have courage. Most Christians are cowards today. Cowards, afraid to stand up for their faith. But the Holy Spirit wants to drive you, wants to send a flame of fire into your heart to inflame your lives with his love so that you might be his missionaries to others. After that, the bishop and I will come down to this part of the sanctuary, and each of you will come forward with your sponsor. The reason you have a sponsor or a padrino, a godparent, is so that person is supposed to help you be a Catholic. Now, godparents, raise your hands. Sponsors, raise your hands. Okay, you have a big job. You got to help these people be good Christians. And you do that by teaching them things, but you also do it by giving them a good example. And if you want them to love God, you have to love God. Because people are much more impressed by what people say, by what people do, than by what they just simply say. So give good example to those of you, those who you are sponsoring today. So your sponsor will come with you, and you'll come up to the sanctuary area, and the sponsor will put a hand on your shoulder so you won't fall over and faint. No, that's not the real reason. It's so that it symbolizes their commitment to love you as a sister or to love you as a brother. And then the bishop and I will anoint your forehead with a cross with the sacred oil. Now, in the early church, someone who was marked with oil, and that's what anointing means, it means to mark something with oil, something that was marked with oil or someone who was marked with oil belonged to God. It's a way of setting something aside. For example, if you had a book, a Bible, and you marked it with oil, that means this book belongs to God. It's no longer mine. It belongs to God. This building, this cathedral building, when it was dedicated many years ago, the bishops marked the walls of the church with oil as a symbol that this building is no longer just a building. It's a building that belongs to God. Just a few weeks ago, we brought this small altar here for Mass, and I poured oil on the top of the altar because to symbolize that this altar doesn't belong to me or to you, it belongs to God. When you were baptized, all of us here were baptized, huh? The priest marked your forehead with oil as a sign that you no longer belong to your parents, but you belong to God. And once more today, you come forward on your own authority, not as babies, but as adults, and you say in this action of coming forward that you no longer belong to yourself, but you belong to God. And the church marks you with oil on your forehead, not on the back of your ear, not on your hands, but on your forehead. Why? Because people can see your forehead. And so people are supposed to be able to look at us and tell by the way we live our lives that we belong to God. Now, are you going to live that way? Or are you going to be an embarrassment to God and to the church? I mean, it's a very serious moment. You're saying to God, here I am. I'm bringing my entire self to you. I was baptized. I couldn't speak for myself, but I can speak for myself now, and I want to belong to you. So, are any of you getting married soon? Okay, you are. Others, another one. Anybody over here getting married soon? Another one, another one. When you get married, do you belong to your wife? The men are saying no. Wives, women, do you want to belong to your husband? They said yes. Something's wrong here. The answer is you don't belong to your husband and you don't belong to your wives. You belong to God. And it's so important that you understand that about your spouse, that your role as you marry this woman or marry this man is to help them get to heaven, to help them really belong to God in their whole lives. So this is a very important moment. The Holy Spirit, who came powerfully upon the early church, will also come upon you because he loves you. So my dear sisters, my dear brothers about to be confirmed, if your faith, it means what you believe with all your heart and mind, if your faith leads you to this moment sincerely, I ask you to stand and in the presence of God in this community to renew the promises of your baptism. So those to be confirmed, just those to be confirmed, please stand. Now I will also ask those of you who are, you know, sponsors and also regular attenders of this Sunday evening Mass to also respond to these questions, but to do it quietly in your heart so that we might hear the public response of those who are going to be confirmed as they commit themselves to their faith. And so when you answer these questions, when you say, I do, I want you to say it so the devil can hear it and he can be chased away, and to say it loudly so that the world can hear it and be transformed and converted. Okay? Bishop, if you would please come with me over here. My dear sisters and brothers, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who came upon the apostles at Pentecost and today is given to you sacramentally in confirmation? Finally, do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. My dear friends, their parents, their brothers and sisters, the whole church community, this is our faith. This is the faith of the church. We, all of us here, are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. May I have an amen?
Amen.
Please stand. Dear friends, in baptism, God our Father gave the new birth of eternal life to these his chosen sons and daughters. Let us pray to our Father that he will pour out the Holy Spirit to strengthen his sons and daughters with his gifts and anoint them to be more like Christ, the Son of God. All-powerful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by water and the Holy Spirit, you freed your sons and daughters from sin and gave them new life. Send your Holy Spirit upon them to be their helper and their guide. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of right judgment and courage, the spirit of knowledge and reverence. Fill them with the spirit of wonder and awe in your presence. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.